chapter 4. Let's read this respectively from verse number 18 to verse number 22. Only 5 verses here. Matthew chapter 18, chapter 4, verse number 18 to verse number 22. I will start reading from verse number 18. You respond verse number 19. And we finish at verse number 22. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers.
And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
And they straightway left their nets and followed him.
And going on from thence, he saw the two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John's brother, and he sitting with his father, in the nets, and he called them.
Together, verse number 22,
and they immediately left ship and followed him, and followed him.
Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together to this place of worship. I pray, Lord, that your hands of protection will always be upon us while we are here. Keep us away from harm. And Lord, your blessing, favor, and your attention, Lord, we pray that you'll be upon us while we come together to worship you. Bless, Lord, your word tonight and each one. All our members that are here tonight, Lord, we thank you for bringing them safely. And also for all our members who are not here tonight, I pray that you will impress upon their hearts the importance of service. And bless all of us tonight, Lord, through your word. And I pray that we can gain victory. And Lord, teach us your ways and help us, Lord, to understand this passage of scripture. And help me as I deliver your word to your people. And Lord, cleanse our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, of all our sins. And Lord, be with us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take control of our service. And bless, Lord, once again, your people and each one of us that is here tonight. We'll gain something from your word and we'll take this home with us with joy and gladness of heart. And Lord, I also commit to you, Jenna, the daughter of Brother Mark and Sister Salome, that Lord, you will be with her, you will keep her, Lord, you will heal her, give her, oh God, healing. And Lord, I pray that Bina will be given back to her parents and to nurture and to be with them. And Lord, I pray that you will provide protection for everyone. And I pray also for Nehemiah. He has a problem with his stomach. I pray, Lord, that he will give him also healing. And Lord, help all of us, keep all of us safe and happy. And also tonight, this passage of scripture will work and will help us all in our Christian walk. Thank you, Father, for your goodness once again. Thank you for the blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. Please be seated. This is a very common situation in the Bible about God calling his people. And this time, he calls brothers. Brothers. It's very common in the in this particular time where brothers work together in the home and work for their parents, and eventually God called them to the ministry. We have Simon there, and Andrew, his brother, and also John, and James, the sons of Zebedee. So, again, it's always like this. There are so many instances in the Bible and also in our personal experiences with friends who are brothers serving the Lord. Me and my brother, we were also like working together, Pastor Harley. We been together since I remember. My life in this earth, I was always with my brother. He didn't want to go to school by himself, so he waited for me. I was younger, so he waited and waited and waited. My mother wanted to send him to school, but he did not want to go to school because he wanted me to be there with him. But I could not go also because at the time, I think I was 5 and he was 7. So when he turns 8, so I would be 6. And that means if we will follow that, you know, the age to go to school, he needs to wait until he turns 9 and I will be 7. So that is going to be very late for him. So what my mother did, he sent me to school at 6 so that my brother can go also to school at 8. So we were together, grade 1, I was 6, he was 8. Grade 2, I was 7, he was 9, and all the way to finishing elementary, 6th grade. So I was, I think, 11. You gonna look a second? And he was like 13. So, we finished elementary, we went to high school. So out of our barrio, we went to the city, for the high school. So I was 12 when the school starts. I was 12 for my first year high school, and Harley was 13. And then second year, I was 13, and Harley failed. So we went back to first year. So I went ahead. I was second year high school, he was still first year. Third year, and then he was second year, and then he dropped out completely. And finished my high school, and he was not able to finish high school there. So, but he worked out later, for many years after that, and he graduated high school. And then, God called us for his salvation in 1983, but he went straight ahead, you know, into the ministry. He was so passionate, he was so zealous about the ministry, and he loved the Lord, and I love the Lord too. I know I love the Lord, and we were together, and we got saved together, the same event. I think he got saved Thursday, I got saved Friday. And then 1997, went to Bible College and finished Bible College. And then he worked for Pastor Jimbo in the church as youth director and choir director. And then he worked for maybe around 16 years also, or 20 years, or maybe, yeah, something like that, or 19 years in Mabolo, for Pastor Jimbo. But when I left Philippines, the Lord called me to the pastorate, and I was ordained. My pastor Harley was not. He finished Bible College ahead of me. I did not finish my Bible College, but he finished Bible College in 1997. But he got ordained. At the same time, I got ordained in 2015. So, but I was sent out ahead of him. But here you can see the brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling siblings to the ministry. The Lord is calling close brothers in the work of the Lord. And we see here even Matthew and Tim. They share together everything in life. They share bed together.
No, we don't share together.
They share the air that they breathe. I think that when Tim will inhale it,
like he's saying, Matthew,
Father. I don't know how much sharing they have in their lives. But God is calling people like that. You know, God is calling siblings and brothers to the ministry, and God is calling them and saying, follow me. Follow me. You see here, the Lord Jesus Christ only lived quite very meager time upon this earth. Only 33, and he went back to heaven. But in that 33 years of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is described in the Bible, and it is condensed in 4 chapters in our book. And it shows there the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows the beginning of his earthly ministry. And before that, his birth in Bethlehem, and then his flight to Egypt, and his return to Nazareth. And then after that, they were silent years. Quiet. The Bible is quiet about the Messiah. At 12 years old, he went. You know, I mean, he showed up again, he surfaced in the Bible, and then quiet again for many years, for 18 years. And then when he became 30 years old, then John the Baptist began preaching, and then came his baptism. And then after his baptism, his temptation, and his fasting and everything, then he started preaching. Then the new beginning, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very first thing that he did after his baptism, the proclamation of his ministry by John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So he was presented to the world. Now the Lord Jesus Christ chose the first disciples. Wow, it was an interesting, you know, recruitment process. Not an ordinary recruitment process like what we have in our companies and the systems that we have in recruitment. This was not an ordinary process of recruitment. This was the high calling. The high calling of God upon this man that will work with him and for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of them, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now here we can learn Apostle Peter's lessons from this recurring call of the ministry. Each one of us is also called to the ministry. Each one who is saved tonight, we have a call, you know, to share the gospel to the people around us. But what is this call of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "Follow me"? My friends, tonight we will take a look at this phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, Peter and Andrew were the first ones to this. Peter and Andrew. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ found them working. And I believe they're hardworking people. And here we can see that God only calls people who are hardworking. There were so many people maybe who are not employed. Those people may be staying in their homes. No job, not working, but the Lord did not go there to find them. The Lord was looking for people who are already working in the field or in the workplace, like this place of Peter and Andrew, in the sea. These people, these are responsible men. These are people who make a living for their family, to supply the needs of their homes, provide food for their children and clothing and education. And I think these are the people who are working so hard to provide for their homes. And God knows it. And God picks these people to work for him. So that will tell us that God will not use someone who is not employed. A family Christian home, a family of Christian had a lot of children, and they are, you know, the children are told what to take when they grow older after university. One child, very good in math, and the father said, "Son, when you take a course in college, take engineering. You're very good in math. Take engineering. I want you to be an engineer in the future. The other is very good in science. I think you take medicine. And the other is also very good in, economics and all that. So he wants that child to take law. But there's one that's just cannot pass any test. A failure in everything." And the dad said, "Son, I think you go to Bible school. You can be a pastor." You know, sometimes the pastorate and the ministry of the Lord is just given to the leftover, people who are the reject of the society. And that is where we send those people. I believe that is not right. The work of the Lord is supposed to be the place where the best of the best should be placed. The work of the Lord should be the place, the workplace for those people who are diligent and people of wisdom and people of good quality, not the leftover of the society. The same is true when we have over familiarity with our pastors, with the workers of the church. When you open the fridge, there's a lot of food there, then you will take it and heat it up, then eat it. The next day, still there. You know, plenty of food, still in the same food that you have eaten the previous days. Still there, in abundance. After 3 or 4 days, the food is still there because there's so many. And then the owner of the home will realize that, the Bible students didn't have enough food there, and the pastor. So they will give that food that's nearly rotten to the pastors and to the people in the ministry. And that is common, you know, even in the Philippines. Whatever is left over, give it to those people who work in the church. That is sad, because that is not supposed to be. The work of the ministry should be the place where the best of the best should be there. But again, it's not us that will call, it is the Lord that will call. But, you know, with the importance of the soul of men, with the importance of condition, the spiritual condition of the people, we ought to put someone there who has the quality of a prime minister. Someone there who has the quality of, you know, a Supreme Court judge. Not the people rejected of the society that could not even, accomplish something. Here, Peter and Andrew were not learned. They did not go to school. They had no education. They were just employed. They were just like working in fishery with their parents, with their father. And by their labor, they provided food for their home. And that is what God is looking at. Responsible people. People who make a living, providing for their families. Probably they also strive and struggle with problems. Probably they have, they come short of the money that they need every week. And they strive to provide for their children, but they're working hard for that. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and found those men working without hesitation, he called them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ meets us where we are. The Lord will find you working. If you are a person working, and the Lord will find you working, and you are faithful in your word, and you have faithfulness in your heart, and you have righteousness, you know, you fear God in your heart, I believe God will call you for His word. And He will meet you where you are. You don't have to have a very high position for God to call you. These men didn't have that position. They were even under the leadership of their parents. Their parents probably also poor like them. And yet, they are working for their parents. They must be very poor. Not far from being money poor or average financially. Must be below poverty also. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ met them and called them where they were. They were working, so God called them where they were working, at the sea. He said to Peter, and he said to Andrew, follow me. They just followed him. They left their nets, they left their fish there with their father. My friends, God is showing us here that God will be meeting us in our time of need. God will meet us where we are. So, but before God called these people, I will tell you, I believe God prepared them for that call. God prepared them. God knows their life. There were people who are just focused on their job. There's no focus, but they are focused in their job. No, wrong things and other rackets. They have a heart that is straightforward. Their hearts have been prepared for His call. I mentioned this in our men's meeting. Our men, I asked our men, what, you know, if indeed the Lord called them to minister to whatever God is calling them, and you know, I hope that God will call our men. And there are a few already, I believe, that are called to do something, and the Lord will accomplish that in their life, and the Lord will use them. And but again, before God will call our men, God knows their hearts. God knows their life. Nothing can escape the eyes of the Lord. Because the eyes of the Lord is going to and fro. He's beholding. He's looking. He's watching the people. And in fact, God knows the intent of our hearts. And God knows who are these people that will love Him and will work in the ministry for Him. So God will prepare the hearts of the people. I hope that God is calling you and you heard His call. I said to Brother Mark, by doing, Brother Mark, when you allow yourself to go back into drinking, the alcohol, the spirit of alcohol in your body will cloud, you know, the presence of God, that you cannot see Him. And the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit of God will be, you know, overcrowded with the other spirit, that you cannot hear His call. And that is why maybe there were so many warnings before, so many promptings from the Holy Spirit of God, and because you are already, you feel numb. You feel numb of God's touch because of the spirit that's living in your body. And therefore, you cannot avoid the pitfalls. And you will fall into the pit because you are not now regarding the call of God or the warning of God. So again, I hope that if God will call you, you will listen to Him. And you can hear. If God will call you and you will listen and you can hear His voice, and again, when God is calling you, follow me, I hope that you will respond according to His call. Have you heard God's call of follow me in faith? God is calling all of us. And I hope that you will respond to that. In Matthew or Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is being asked or being prepared by God. The Lord, our God, will prepare us to His call. Our souls are being justified. Our hearts are being prepared. And by faith, we are ready for His word. By faith, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God will prepare our hearts first of all. God will prepare our souls before He will ordain us to go. God will make sure that we have that salvation in us before He can use us for His glory. As our faith increases, our fear also decreases. When God will call us, sometimes it's scary. Sometimes we cannot imagine how can we, work for the Lord, and how can we stand before the people? How are we going to handle the ministry? We have all that fear. But because God will equip us and will enable us, and then through the word of God, our faith will increase, then our fear will also decrease. But what really God wants us to see in our life? What is it really that God wants to see? Not just a Christian life that begins in faith, but also a Christian life that will struggle in faith. A Christian life that will continue in faith and finish in faith. Because God will not just start a thing and then leave it off. God will begin. God is the beginning. God also will finish it. He will accomplish it. That thing that He started in you. Follow me. Oh, what a noble call is that. Follow me. God here is showing not just the follow me of faith, but also the follow me of fishing for men. He wants us to work for men. The reason that why you are saved, because you have so many loved ones around you that are not saved. The reason now is I saw 1993, the first person that was saved in our home is Julius, Brother Julius. I think he was 1 year ahead of me. But I was not impressed of Baptist before. I was not happy with Baptist. And more so with Julius, because Julius smoked and, he smoked. And I don't like smoking, and he smoked. But he was a Baptist. That is why it hardened me. It hardened me to come and attend the services. But when I began attending the church, Julius also backslid. I mean, did not show up to church. But he got saved, baptized by Pastor Jimbo ahead of me. 1 year ahead of me. So here, God wants us to be fishers of men. He wants us to be a blessing. When we got saved, God's promise is we will be saved and our household. Thou shalt be saved and thine house.
God is concerned not just our soul, but the souls of the people around us, but He will start with us. And from us, then that blessing of salvation will spread around our family. And by the grace of God, I understood it for many years and of the ministry. I did not realize that many of my brothers and sisters will come to know the Lord. We will just, faithful in our ministry, faithful in the church, every Sunday, turn up the church, every Wednesday, we just turn up the church. Whatever activity of the church, we are there. And the Lord used that, the Lord uses the faithfulness of His people. And then because of our seriousness in the ministry, it affected the lives of my brothers and sisters. It affected the lives of our parents. My mother, because my father died already 2 years before I got saved, or 4 years before I got saved. So, the Lord uses people to be fishers of men. He uses those who are saved to proclaim the word of God. But again, this is a different call. The call of, when He said, follow me, the call of follow me of faith is different of this call, the follow me of fishing for men. Because this is another level. All of us can follow the Lord, of faith, or taking the faith in us, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to do the work of the Lord, to be fishers of men, is another thing, is another level. Again, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, and He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The responsibility is upon us. Our responsibility is to follow God. And once you follow the Lord, it is a given consequence already. What will happen to us if we follow the Lord? When we follow the Lord, we will become fishers of men. That means it is now us catching men. It is now us will be used by God for the salvation of the people around us. The goal to soul winning is now a neglected goal. It is no longer common to the people in our church or anywhere else to obey the Lord in soul winning. We can follow the Lord in faith, but to follow the Lord in becoming fishers of men is a hard thing to do. But God wants us to understand that all Christians should do the personal evangelism. You must be the person that will look after the people around you. You must be the person that will pray to the Lord, Lord, please save my friend at school. Lord, please save my workmate. You must be the first person that will pray for them. But again, that call is a neglected call. Not many of us will pray about our workmates now. Not many people will pray about their loved ones even. And that is worse. If we are called by God to saturate the gospel throughout all the people that know us, how much more in our family? If God wants our friends to be saved, God wants your parents to be saved. God wants your brother or sister to be saved. God wants your children to be saved. Personal evangelism is very important in the kingdom of God. This work is not supposed to be left to the pastors and workers of the churches. This work is for all of us, Christians. If you are saved, you have something to say. Why you get saved? How did you get saved? And if you can explain why or if you can answer the question why you got saved or how did you get saved, that is the same answer that you will answer the question with the same words that you're going to use to tell the people around you. Because that is personal. My salvation is different from your salvation. But tell your own story. Tell your own story. How did you get saved? Because each one of us has special, unique, and individual story to tell. Every Christian is called to reach out. And you know what? The result of this neglect, the results are few churches are filled with people. Not many people in the churches. And the result, the other result of this is many joyless believers come to church. We come to church, we have no joy. We come to church and we feel like coming to church is a burden. Coming to church is a hassle. It's a something that is so cumbersome. Coming to church, you know, it's not joyful anymore. These are the results. The results of neglecting soul winning. People will come to church not happy. And worse, many churches will die out. Because the people in the churches do not go out winning souls. One by one, they leave, move to another place. One by one, they pass on, they die. And then the church will shrink and keep on getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until the pastor will say, it's not worth doing the service. And the people will say, it's not worth coming. It's only us, the pastor, and it's not worth coming. And if the pastor will die and no one will replace, or the pastor will move on, no one will replace, and then the people that are left, there's no point coming. There's no reason, you know, there's no point of coming and meeting because, anyway, just us again. What joyless believers that would be in the churches. And the church will surely will be out of the map. And I hope that it will not happen to us, and it will not happen to our lifetime, that our church will die out. And that is now the trend, because many Christians in the churches, they are there for many reasons, but not Christ. Yeah. Many people in the churches, they are there in the churches for many other reasons, but not the ministry of souls. They are there because they are, they are grabbed by their parents to be there. If they have given the choice, they will not come to church. It's because of their parents they come. If they are given the choice, they will not come to church. If only they can find good reason not to come to church. Some people will find ways not to come to church, and that is. You can see that is now the recipe of, a dying church. That is a dying church, when people are finding ways and reasons not to come to church. That's the results of this neglect. Now, what's the cure of this neglect? There must be a cure to this. There must be something that you can do. There must be something. Pray, of course, prayer. And seek the Lord, encourage one another. Of course, that could be a good cure to this. But the cure, really, the most important cure that we can have in our church to avert this kind of eventualities of the church, that our church will die out, is the joy in sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
The joy of winning people to the Lord. When you have joy in your heart, I will tell you, that joy will, it's contagious. It is contagious. It can affect the person next to you. It can affect the person that you meet and the people in the home. If one member of the home is joyful in the ministry, I will tell you that entire household will be affected by that person. If there is one person in the home that is so joyful in serving the Lord, the entire household, sooner or later, will be delivered unto the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what will happen to an individual that love the sowing or reaping in the field of God in soul winning. You know what? When someone is saved, it brings joy. That converts will give us joy. In Psalm 126, verse number 5, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There is joy in soul winning. Yeah. There is joy in winning people to the Lord. That is why I encourage all of us to, you know, do soul winning. Just share the gospel, and you will see that there is unique joy there. There is unique joy that is different from the joy that we have in other things. But there is joy when someone gets saved. We must get past this, get past programs to our people. The past programs of soul winning, the methods of the past, going one-on-one and soul winning and sharing the testimonies and witnessing to people, we need to go out. Because there is joy in winning people to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. Bible says, for what is our hope? You know, sometimes people will place their hope in their money, place their hope in their career. They have so much hope in their career, that so much years in the future, and they can rack up all this money together and build a beautiful house. That's okay. And, you know, buy properties. And again, that is okay because that is the labor of your hand. But there is joy and there is hope above what the material things can offer. And that is the joy and the hope of the souls that will be saved. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The people are our joy. The people that we witness to the Lord Jesus Christ is our glory. If the Lord Jesus Christ will come and all of us will meet there at the presence of the Lord Jesus, that is my joy. That is my glory. That we survive and that we are able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Wow, what a noble call. Follow me. That was the following of faith. And that was the following of fishers fishing for men. Lastly here, God is calling us and he has given us the following of full surrender. Full surrender. Matthew 16, verse number 24. Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. Deny yourself from your ambition. Deny yourself from the, you know, material pleasure. Because anyway, God will give it to you, you know, in full. The Lord will give you all the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. You desire beautiful houses, God will give you beautiful houses. Do not think that if you jump into the ministry, then you will become poor. Do not think that if you join in the army of the Lord, you will not be provided. God will provide. A lot of people who serve the Lord, and they are very rich. Abraham was not so rich when he left his place of nativity. But Abraham, he died as a rich person. He has a lot of servants, hundreds of servants. God bless him. Jacob was not so rich. But God blessed Jacob. David was also a servant of God, but God blessed David. Solomon was a servant of God, but God blessed Solomon. So there are rich people who are serving the Lord. In fact, at the time of Solomon, the value of silver is gone. Silver lost their value. Other metals lost their value. Why? Because Solomon ran up all this gold that did not count silver anymore. They do not use silver to buy or to exchange. They use gold because of its abundance. You see, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Do not worry about when God says deny yourself and you go through hardship and pain and difficulty. No, it's not always like that. If God will call you to that, maybe you can, but that is not always the case. If you work for the Lord, there are times also that God will use every individual. God has a different purpose. It's not all the time that when a person will join or will work for the Lord, the person will become poor. It's not always like that. But there are many who will, just like Moses, he suffered with the people of God. And he did not want to enjoy the riches of Egypt for a season. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And then follow the Lord. Take up your cross. Stand your ground. Do not allow sin to intervene in your daily walk. Do not allow sin to be there to stop you from doing the things of the Lord. Focus on the things of God, not on your flesh and fleshly desire, because that will bring death. That's what God said. They that live in the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but they that live in the spirit will reap life eternal. God calls us for our full surrender, not a half-baked soldier. God wants us to fully surrender unto him. When Dwight L. Moody, you know this guy in Chicago, and when he just started his ministry, he heard of a preacher who said these words, and he linked, and that word lingered in his ears and in his heart. He heard the preacher make this statement. He said, "The world," this is the preacher that said, "the world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to him." I tell you, New Zealand has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to the Lord. The day morning, hearing the preaching of the pastor, in that night, Moody said to God, he said, Lord, by God's grace, I will be that man. He desired it. Nothing is wrong to desire. Lord, make me that man. And indeed, Dale Moody was the most, you know, productive Christian in all America. Millions of people got saved because of him. Dale Moody just made the decision. He just made the decision. It was the word of the preacher. It was not even in the Bible. Bible maybe somewhere about we speak of the same thing, but it was coming from the pastor. The pastor said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully surrendered to him. And Dale Moody took it personally. And he took that word and he said to God, I will be that man, Lord. By your grace, I will be that man. Who will be that person that God will use in New Zealand? To reach out to the suburbs and to the areas that have not been preached with the gospel. You see, who will be that person that will say, Lord, I will be that man. By your grace, Lord, I will be that man. You see, but many people will stop the ministers from doing the work. In fact, Christians are stopping other Christians from doing the work. It happened to Apostle Peter when the Lord Jesus Christ said something, and Apostle Peter rebelled at the news of the cross. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Again, the Lord is calling for self-denial. The Lord is calling for, he spoke to Peter, you do not know what you're saying. And in fact, later on, the Lord Jesus Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because it's no longer Peter saying that. I believe it's Satan. The spirit of Satan influenced Peter. Self-denial, my friends, is still the call of Christ today. Self-denial, full surrender, is what is needed. Why? Because full surrender will bring us complete victory. Lastly here, not just the follow me in faith, not just the follow me in full surrender or fishing for men, but also the follow me of focusing unto the Lord. Just focus unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind other people working for the Lord. Leave them. You know, just leave them alone. You have your commitment to the Lord. Follow your commitment to the Lord. Pursue your commitment to the Lord. And, you know, make sure that you finish that. Just do what God is calling you to do and continue doing it. John chapter 21, verse number 22. This is the story here with Peter again. Because it seems like, oh, there are two ministers here now. Peter is like the leader of the disciples. And now here comes John the Beloved. But the Lord, Peter was asking the Lord, Lord, now, what is this man doing? He cannot be a leader here because I'm a leader here. So what is John doing? Then God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Jesus, verse 52,
Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now here Peter learns what he will do for Christ. He wonders, what will John do? What John will do to the ministry? Maybe many of us will realize, so many preachers already in our church and doing this ministry, and it seems like this guy is, also a potential to do this ministry, and then we will try to figure out what each person will do, and will try to stop another person from doing things. But here, Apostle Peter was trying to figure out, Lord, what will John do? Because he cannot lead us. He cannot lead these disciples. I'm a leader already here. Then our Lord's answer to Peter, he answered in verse number 22. Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Just follow. You know, Peter, you already have a lot in your hands. Peter, you already have a lot of work that I have given you. Why don't you focus on what you are doing for me? Why don't you focus your own business? Mind your own business. Accomplish the things that God is calling you to do. And don't worry about other workers. Do not worry about other Christians. Do not worry about other pastors. Do not worry about other homes, other families, other children. Do not worry about them. What God is calling you to do, follow thou me. You see, sometimes in our Christian life, we're so thankful, pointing fingers at that family. Oh, those children are not really doing well. And this family is not faithful in the Lord. This group here is not doing well in the ministry. And that group there is not supporting the ministry. And you have all these bad reports everywhere. And you can criticize every individual in the church. Why don't you just, focus on the Lord, what God is calling you to do? If God is calling you to be faithful in your Sunday or Wednesday or whatever services, just focus on that. If God is calling you to do the children's ministry, just focus on that. Don't never mind other people's work. If God is calling you for in the ministry of feeding the people, like our kitchen, focus on that. If God is calling you in driving, focus on that. If God is calling you to to be part of our people, arranging the chairs, focus on that. Whatever God is calling you to do, never mind pointing fingers at other people. Because every one of us, we have, things to answer to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? That is not your business, Peter. Mind your own business. Follow me. You see? God wants us to follow Him, and do not be mindful, do not be mindful, too mindful of the things of others. Now tonight, what is your response to God's call? When God will say to you tonight, follow me, what is your response? Will you decide now to follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the way? By His grace, I hope that you do. So follow me in faith. Follow me in full surrender. Follow me in fishing for men. The Lord will bless us. This part is prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for reminding us of God to mind our own business in the Lord. Help us, Lord, to accomplish the things, and that in the end, You will find us faithful. And You will welcome us, Lord, in Your kingdom. And Lord, we look forward for that great day, and we are excited, Lord, of the potential of the ministry. And the ministry that You have given to us, Lord, is a great ministry. And we love you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to reach out. Just, Lord, make us faithful. Help me, Lord, as an individual in our church, to be faithful to you and to you alone. And help each and every person in our church tonight not to be so mindful of other people's business, but, Lord, we will be mindful of our own things. And, Lord, I pray that all of us will contribute to the furtherance of your kingdom. That through us, O God, before you will take us home to be with you in heaven, Lord, we can reach out to so many people and share to them the gospel. That, Lord, we can warn every person about the reality of hell and about the blessedness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help all of us to be mindful about these things, because these are the most important things in this life, that we will be fishers of men. Lord, help us to also surrender, to fully surrender to your will. And give us, Lord, that faith that you have. Give us that faith, Lord, that can move mountains. And Lord, give us also that faith that to follow the Lord Jesus Christ